Radio Prague News.
The police have confirmed finding internationally banned anti-personnel landmines in storage at the Vrbětice munitions site. A lodging house owner has been fined £500,000 for running an old people's home in atrocious conditions. Thousands of children are expected to take part in a night with Anderson, organised by libraries around the country. The police have confirmed finding internationally banned anti-personnel landmines in storage at the Vrbětice munitions depot, which was seriously damaged in a series of blasts last year, Czech television reported. The anti-personnel landmines have been banned since 1997 by the Ottawa Convention. Five people have been charged with violating the law on arms licensing and holding illegal weapons. They are employees of Excalibur Army and Real Trade, two weapons trading companies which stored ammunition in the munitions depot in Vrbětice. The owner of a lodging facility in Přerov, which illegally served as an old people's home, has received a £500,000 fine, the CTK news agency reports. The case came to light when Czech Senator Jitka Seitlová publicised the fact that there were several dozen helpless old people living in the house in atrocious conditions. After the case made national headlines, the people were quickly removed, with some ending up in emergency wards, holding their documents with no idea of where they were or what had happened to them. By failing to register his lodging house as a social and health facility, the owner bypassed strict health norms and avoided regular inspections to check on the well-being of the home's inhabitants. A month-long series of events in support of reading will culminate on Friday with a traditional Night with Anderson held in libraries across the Czech Republic. The annual fairy tale night for children is to promote reading among the youngest generation, with thousands of children spending the night at the local library where they read, chat and listen to a public reading of fairy tales by the famous Danish children's writer Hans Christian Andersen. The event has a 15-year tradition, and this year 90,000 children have registered to take part in libraries around the country. Education Minister Marcel Chládek has presented 42 teachers with Best Teacher Award for a creative and inspiring approach in the classroom. The event celebrating the country's best teachers is held annually on the occasion of Teachers' Day on March 28th. On Saturday, there is to be a teachers' ball in Prague, at which the organisers will announce the name of the most popular teacher in the Czech Republic. The winner is selected by students, with each school putting forward its own nominee for the Amos Prize, commemorating Jan Amos Comenius, known as Teacher of Nations. Air Bank, which was established in 2011, has consolidated its position on the Czech banking scene, posting a £313 million profit in 2014, the CTK news agency reports. The preceding year, the bank suffered £80 million losses. The main reason behind the turnaround is a 49% increase in clients last year to 318,000. Originally, the bank did not expect to show a profit until 2015. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend is expected to be partly cloudy with scattered showers and day temperatures reaching 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the U.S. convoy will begin a closely watched journey through the Czech Republic at the weekend. We'll have details about those who are for and those who are against. Chris Johnstone will be along with the latest in business news, and a little later in the program, we're going to talk to the dramaturg for the upcoming Days of European Film, Zdeněk Blaha. That's all ahead. A U.S. military convoy will arrive in the Czech Republic at the weekend and is expected to be met by both supporters as well as demonstrations in areas, people divided over NATO membership and over Russian intervention in Ukraine. Critics charge the opposition to the convoy has been artificially whipped up by groups long opposed to NATO membership. A poll, for example, conducted by the STEM agency just released on Thursday suggested that in fact a vast majority of Czechs, 82%, had no issue with the convoy traveling through Czech territory at all. All the same, unexpected developments can never be ruled out. In terms of logistics, the U.S. military is well aware of potentially tricky areas where the passage of combat vehicles could be more difficult. In any case, they are prepared for the unexpected, said Czech Major Martin Vlkovsky.
Problem areas such as potential bottlenecks or bridges are of course known in advance, but these are planned for. In the event of an unexpected problem, alternative routes are also known, but those have not been revealed for strategic reasons.
The military convoy with just under 120 vehicles and some 500 personnel will enter the country in three separate columns in the north, making their way to an outer district in the Czech capital before traveling to Plzeň and the Rozvadov crossing into Germany. Before then, the convoy will spend 4 days and three nights in the Czech Republic, during which locals are planning events or rallies in favor or against. For example, Prague cafe owner Martin Kotas is an organizer of an event where demonstrators will symbolically call on the U.S. military not to get out, but to stay. By contrast, the No Bases initiative has sided with the country's Communist Party in opposition to the temporary military presence. A spokesman for the initiative has been quoted by the Wall Street Journal calling the convoy, quote, a NATO provocation and a dumb flexing of muscles, while Communist Party supporters and one initiative friends of Russia blame primarily the U.S. and NATO and not Vladimir Putin's regime for the escalation of the situation in Ukraine. Its head, former Social Democrat Senator Jiří Vivagil, said this in a debate program Thursday.
It is a stupid provocation. I can understand that there are such countries, the Baltics and Poland, which are happy to see such a show of strength, but it makes no sense here.
In the Baltic states and Poland, sharing borders with Russia, support for NATO's Operation Atlantic Resolve, showing unity in the face of Russian intervention, appears to have been more clear-cut. Czech independent journalist Pavel Šafr, who supports a pro-NATO stance, meanwhile says that there is nothing wrong with the convoy. He called the vein of anti-Americanism which has cropped up a holdover from the country's communist days.
Our friends in the alliance are traveling from a friendly country across our country to another friendly country. I don't think anyone should spit on a convoy of our allies.
There is no question in the Czech Republic that the journey by the U.S. convoy has been heavily politicized and divisions are apparent. But there is also a general concern that opposition to U.S. troops by some will cast the Czech Republic overall in a poor light. Just days ago, the Defense Minister Martin Stropnický expressed embarrassment over the situation, arguing this was not the time for the debate to descend into Švejkism, a pejorative term related to the great Czech anti-war novel The Good Soldier Švejk. The word means shirking commitment or responsibility. In this case, the minister reminded viewers to NATO partners. And Chris Johnstone is next with Business News.
The Czech National Bank has signalled that it is ready to vigorously pursue its low crown policy. In a statement after the board meeting on Thursday, the Czech Central Bank said it was ready to react automatically without the need of a board decision to weaken the crown if it started to strengthen beyond the target figure of 27 crowns to the euro. And it significantly indicated that it is ready to shift that target to an even lower level if need be. Analysts have previously talked about a new target of 28 or even 29 crowns to the euro. The low crown policy should remain in place until at least the second half of 2016.
Investment in Czech hotels this year is likely to top 6 billion crowns. The main reason is the enthusiasm of investors from Asia and the Middle East to invest in Central Europe and boost their hotel capacity here, according to real estate consultancy Cushman & Wakefield. Some of the investments are expected to boost the number of beds on offer and quality of services, but are also expected to result in higher charges for guests. Room prices for top hotels have been on a gradual downward slope over the last 10 years.
Major pharmaceutical firms have won what has been described as a landmark ruling, allowing them much bigger scope to challenge decisions and rulings by the State Institute for Drug Control. The Supreme Administrative Court ruled that current procedures by the state body setting prices for drugs were unconstitutional. in a case brought by major drug firms such as US-based Abbott. The ruling is expected to kickstart a series of stalled court cases brought by major drugs companies.
Internet advertising rose by around 10% last year to a total of 14 billion crowns. That's still half as much as for the biggest advertising medium, television, but getting close to the spending on ads in newspapers and magazines. And a 15% rise in internet advertising spending is expected this year as well. But the aggressiveness of internet advertising is annoying an increasing number of surfers, according to the Czech advertising evaluation company Emerite. It found the number of antagonized Czech internet users had doubled in 4 years to 16%.
And finally, a Prague-based business has been launched delivering elephant shit to all destinations. The business, Give a Shit, is the brainchild of Jaroslav Šimek, with deliveries of small consignments of the excellent manure guaranteed within a couple of days following the order, supplies permitting. Supplies can be sent anonymously, giving a perhaps not-so-subtle message to the receiver. And part of the profits are promised to help save endangered elephants in Africa.
Okay, that was Chris Johnstone with the not-so-subtle ending to this week's edition of Business News. And as you'll find on the internet, the question asked is one lump or two. We're going to turn now to today's arts. The 22nd inception of the respected Days of European Film Festival is still 2 weeks away, but now is the time to start thinking about tickets. This year, the festival promises a number of excellent titles, not only in Prague, but Brno and other cities. I took the opportunity to discuss European cinema, arthouse theatres in the Czech Republic and more with one of the festival's main organisers, Zdeněk Blaha, and he began by tracing a bit of the festival's history back to the 1990s.
The festival started shortly after the revolution, so there was a time when the cinemas were basically empty because there were no films and they were craving for new films. And most of the films came from Hollywood because that was something that we were missing here. But there were a certain group of people that wanted to see European cinema and were interested in what's going on around. And since there were no access to those films because it wasn't in the distribution so much of them, they decided to create a special festival which will focus only on European films and bring them to the Czech audience. And it started as a cooperation of several embassies and cultural institutes here in Prague. That was the idea at the beginning, so the embassies helped to obtain the film rights and the film prints and bring them to Prague to the festival. And that's basically the idea that it's still working till now in some sense.
Have the audiences themselves changed? Has the audience become more in tune with what's going on Europe-wide in terms of film?
Yes, of course, I would say so. It's visible also if you look at the Czech distribution in last years. You could notice that not only there's more European films in the cinemas, but also there's more festivals that give big space to presentation of European films. So, and also because there are various initiatives as European cinemas, which supports local small cinemas to run European films, there is bigger access to European films, which means also the audience knows them well, and they are kind of demanding of they have demands on the quality of the films, and they know the area at least a little bit.
This is something that works well in the Czech Republic, at least that's my understanding, because when the multiplexes began to show up, there was a fear that they would completely flatten the small art houses, but they seem to have survived and are doing well. Indeed, they are the venues, some of them are the venues where your festival takes place.
Yes, that's right. It's the fear of multiplexes. It also had one positive thing to it because it started the digitalization of cinemas, of these small cinemas. And it was supported by the state and it was really quick. If you compare it to other European countries, the Czech Republic was really quick in a way how they managed to digitize all those small cinemas, which helped a lot because now they are able to compete with the multiplexes because, of course, new formats as a DCP, they could screen the film basically at the same time. They don't have to wait for the copies when they will be screened in the multiplexes. So it changed the market. It kind of makes equilibrium a little bit.
Today, if you're doing a festival, do you also have to be more refined in your approach? I ask because I know on the one hand that you have your audience. On the other, you want to attract more people. Yet we're living in an age when many people either are drawn more to TV production because writing there has improved significantly. We have a lot of great television productions today, which wasn't the case, say, 15 years ago. Also, people have become accustomed to watching films on all kinds of different devices. Is this competition, or is it more a case where the festival is offering still the big screen and that's always going to be prominent?
I wouldn't see it as a competition. There are many ways to have to distribute films now. And VOD and all the examples you named, it's just another way how to reach the audience. I think that's the most important. Of course, the cinema has something that you can't have at the television. It's the big screen. It's the quality of the image. And also cinema could bring something that you couldn't have in your living room, kind of special events as screening of silent films with live music, for example, or broadcast of from a Metropolitan Opera and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So there is still something. It's just different way, and you just have to like shape the distribution plan and see what kind of audience you wanna reach. Actually, we also try to provide this kind of special events at the Days of European Film. So this year we prepare so-called Film Flavor. It's a special event which will take place in Cinema Royal, and it's based on the principles of film cuisine, which means the screening of the film accompanied with a special menu, food menu. Mm-hmm. And it will be, we selected three films and cooperate with local restaurants to prepare the menu of which will kind of be connected with the film. One is Italian, French and Belgian, but set in Spain. So mm-hmm. these will be the main three cuisines that will be available to taste while watching the film.
Is there an overriding theme to this year's festival?
No, we don't have a theme like that. We have like several thematical sections, which are basically regular every year. And this year we have one section that is changing every year, which is still this year focused on comedies. Because we believe that comedies were once a prominent film genre in European cinema. I'll just name the Italian or the French comedies of the 60s and 70s. So we decided to look a bit closer at this era and see how humor is perceived by audiences across the Europe.
Is there something that European comedies share that is, say, different from the American counterpart?
I would say they might be more, not to be bound by rules and political correctness, they might be more open-minded in some ways, and as well, they are not afraid of black humor. For example, Afterlife movie, the Hungarian movie, is about a young man suffering of depression and problems with his father. His father dies, and then he starts seeing him as a ghost, and it's the way how he deals with his problem with the father. But actually, it's very black humor, and there's lots of scenes on the edge that you wouldn't expect in a comedy, but it still works well within the genre.
I guess for any festival, it's also important to get some of the heavy hitters, some of the better-known titles. You have the Academy Award, the foreign language film, Aida, the Polish film. You have Tomasz Winterberg's The Hunt from a few years ago, also received very good reviews. When you as the festival's dramaturg or art director were putting together this list, how important was it for you to get some of these big-name films?
Of course, you need them, to be honest. You need to have the, let's say, stars of the European film. And this one you just mentioned, it's actually one section which is kind of like a retrospective section. We made it together with the media program, and it's focused on another genre of typical European genre. It's a social drama and social issues. But of course, we have few names. I'm really proud we have them in program. We will have in before the premiere, before Czech's theatrical premiere, we will screen the latest Roy Anderson movie, which was really highly anticipated, and we will screen as well. That's one of the big names, because he was working on that film for a long time, so it was really a long-awaited movie. Another one might be, for example, The Duke of Burgundy by Peter Strickland. Peter Strickland is, I would say, a rising star of British cinema, because this is his third film, but with each film he's really like pushing forward the film language and the way how he's shooting these movies. So that's another movie like that. I think this year we have quite few successful names. Maybe not names as directors, but talented debutants. It's definitely worth watching now and see what comes next.
Are there? I know that there's a Czechoslovak production in one of the fiction sections. Is there any in the documentary section?
Yes, actually, we will have as a Czech representative in the festival, we'll have a documentary called Concrete Stories, which is a co-production Czech-French film by Lawrence Findesen, a German director, who made a film about the history of concrete buildings, of something which is still considered as a completely Soviet thing. But it's actually not the Soviet Russia who started with it. It started in the West. And this is a documentary that shows not only the history, but also stories of people who lived in concrete buildings and how it influenced their life and interaction with their neighbors and environment. Mm-hmm. And we prepare, because Lorenz will be here in Prague as our guest. He will be at the screening. And we would like to prepare a small discussion about the living in concrete buildings in Czech Republic. So it's kind of like the situation in Prague. So we would like to invite a few experts and together with the director offer some insight look in this situation, what to do with these areas of cities now, and how to bring culture there and so on.
It is a fascinating topic because much of the capital, but also other major Czech cities or smaller towns, have these prefabricated panel
exactly
apartment buildings, kind of like the concrete jungle, how to make it more lively, more human, I guess. And another aspect is also decay, because a lot of these buildings weren't built to last 30, yeah, 40 years, right?
And my friend from Canada, when she was in Budapest and see those settlements, she was so surprised. She showed me the pictures and said, like, could you believe people live in there? So, yeah, for us might not be the strange thing to think about, but if you see it from a different point, it might be kind of like new point of view.
And that was Zdeněk Blaha of the Days of European Film Festival coming up in the first week of April. So my thanks to him again for coming into Radio Prague Studios. And if you're interested in cinema, in European film specifically, be sure to look up more information on the internet. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thanks so much for joining us this day. A quick reminder, if you'd like to look up more stories, our address is radio.cz. And Radio Prague is also, of course, active on Facebook and Twitter. That's it from us. Bye-bye.